Oh, funny. You guys want to hear my joke now?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. It's what do you call two crows sitting on a tree branch?
Attempted murder.
Yes.
Yeah. I heard that one before. It was different,
but God, it's so funny.
All right, I'm good.
You're good.
Yeah.
This is Last One Out. You're listening to Comic Pop Library.
Be unbroken by and by and by is a better home awaiting in the sky. Oh, in the sky. In
Richard, along with
April,
Luis,
and Logan.
And today we are starting our first episode of a new program where we're going to be featuring video games or any other type of gaming, whether it be card games, whatever it might be. And we are going to be calling it Comic Pop Gameplay. So welcome to Comic Pop Gameplay, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. And in our first installment, we're going to be looking at BioShock Infinite, and Luis is taking lead on this. So Luis, there you go.
All right. So BioShock Infinite, this game came out actually in 2013. It's an action adventure sci-fi game. Critics actually came out on March 26th. So, and then critics gave it a 9.4 out of 10, which is pretty good.
Pretty dang good.
It was released by 2K Games. And I guess I'll read a little bit of the story. The year is 1912. Deep in depth, Pickerington agent Booker Dwight is sent to a mysterious flying city of Columbia to find and retrieve a young woman imprisoned in a tower since birth, Elizabeth, and to bring us the girl and wipe away the debt. However, almost as soon as Booker arrives, he finds that Columbia and its people are not quite as they seem. And all too soon, science, religion, morality, family, and life all crash and spiral down into an utter chaos, with Booker and Elizabeth as unlikely partners, the midst of all action. All right, so
as we said to Jonathan, welcome to reading the description.
Oh, it's fine.
Sometimes it's fun with names.
I guess it's a little bit different in the back of the case, but it's it's winner of 80 awards. It's based on 1920. I guess, I don't know.
The soundtrack, you said, was kind of from that era, too?
Yeah, right? It's 1920-ish, 1930 kind of music.
Not from that era, but it's reminiscent
of
that.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they have a lot of references to that. And then BioShock Infinite is actually a prequel to two games, BioShock 1 and 2, that BioShock 1 came out back in 2007, exclusive for the 360 and PC, but then it was made for PlayStation 3 and then BioShock 2 came out for Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. So the main cast would be Troy Baker, who plays Booker DeWitt, who is the main character, the one you play as. It's a first-person shooter kind of adventure, kind of. Courtney Draper is Elizabeth, which is the girl you have to find. And pretty much she's pretty much your companion throughout the game. You know, she helps you with stuff. And Kif Vander Kavel or something like that as
Vanden Huevel,
which is who is the main villain, which everybody calls him Comstock, but his first name is Zachary Hale Comstock. So I don't know if you guys want to talk about the game. Okay.
Well, I know you said it was a first-person shooter.
Yeah.
And does it do the different views of a first-person? You have the direct view, but does it have the over-the-top view too, like some games do, or is it just?
It is. It's a front. It's like a first-person shooter where everybody's used to kind of like just you're the guy, you're the person. It shows your gun. Yeah.
So you can never see yourself.
No, pretty much. No, not even throughout the videos.
Unless you find a mirror.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Unless you find a mirror, that's the only time you can see you. And like I said, it's a first-person shooter, but they also have these things called Vigors, which is like powers, but like I guess it's like he drinks it, and like you start getting different kind of powers. Yeah, there's a couple of different ones you can find around the game. Once you get further throughout the game, you can upgrade them and get them stronger, I guess. Yeah. Same thing with the guns.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is quite a bit of story involved.
Oh, yeah.
It's not just you jump right in and start shooting at people. It takes a little bit until you get to that stage.
Yeah, of course. The story is about, like I said, Booker, who is, I guess he's a detective or something like that, who's sent to find Elizabeth and bring her back to, I think, New York is where he needs to take her.
Right, and I,
how he's planning on getting down is iffy.
Yeah, I.
How was he planning on getting down?
What happens at the beginning?
Yeah, we've.
Luis is the only one that's played the full game. We've just kind of seen the first parts. So,
but where I started, you know, he's on Earth. Mm-hmm. I guess you know on the ground. And in a series of events, he ends up in a capsule that takes him to the clouds, another world.
Mm-hmm. So Columbia, which is like a city on...
City in the sky, exactly.
And that's where Elizabeth is. So he's really above Earth. He's in a different place altogether with this. And I really enjoyed
He's in the atmosphere. He didn't go through space, though.
Well, that's what she meant. He's above Earth. Yeah. She's off the ground.
And I enjoyed the
not in space.
I enjoyed being thought.
Give them time, they might. Sorry,
I enjoyed the story being so thought out. You know, like Halo, of course, has a little backstory, but you know, those more military first-person shooters are more of a just go and shoot. And I enjoyed having you know such a complete world and such.
Like I said, you didn't. Jump in shooting, you actually investigated it like a RPG type deal.
Right. Instead of the aim to be to shoot, your aim is to not shoot.
Yeah, because pretty much
you're sneaking around.
You know, they don't consider this game actually a first person shooter. It's more like an action adventure because pretty much you're walking around doing stuff as well. You don't, you're not shooting all the time. You're not in battle all the time.
Right.
So.
And Luis mentioned the power-ups. It was kind of like April played the first, and then Logan. It was like he just grabs a bottle and drinks it. I'm like, dude, you don't know what's good. In there,
right?
It's kind of marked by a figurehead thing.
Well, they were promoting it, so
true.
What are those things at the gas station with the
pumps?
The nozzles?
No,
the energy drink
claw machine.
It's an energy drink thing for kids. They'll have the best of Spider-Man or the best of
on it. It's juicy juice.
It's not juicy juice.
The balls were pretty much that with added superpower.
So like, you know, the game was a course rated M for mature. You know, it's a blood, gore, intense violence, a lot of language actually, mild sexual themes, which I didn't notice, a use of alcohol and tobacco.
Yeah.
But that's in step with the 20s.
Yeah, they have to, you know.
And with the 20s, they did. I enjoyed their very steampunk setting and their just overall design. Because even though it has that throwback feel, it also has the, you know, the steam engines and the robots.
Exactly. And this game had a lot of kind of steampunk elements into it. because there's this thing you have to fight called the Iron Patriot, and it's pretty much a robot.
Iron Man's in this.
it's pretty much like George Washington, like, but it's a robot and like with That's machine cool. guns and yeah. stuff. And he's pretty tough if you don't take cover and stuff. But anyways, Elizabeth actually has this power where can, like, they call them tears, where she can tear through time pretty much and go anywhere. And throughout the game, you can take advantage of that. So, like, let's just say you're going somewhere and, like, you need her to do this tear. You can either use it as a cover system, or, like, if you're running out of ammo, you can use the tear and go somewhere else and pick up some ammo or some health or whatever. And it comes pretty in handy. And I think Logan, like, I let him play the expansion pack, which is Burial at Sea, which is actually before what happened in the actual game.
That was me.
Was
that
it you? Was me. I don't know.
I Logan. Was the one who did the sea-based
thing. Yeah, you played
you
the air-based.
You were the one on the clouds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did, huh?
Yeah. So this kind of explains a little bit what happened, and it gives homage to the original first Bioshock, because the first Bioshock was actually based underwater.
Okay.
So the city was actually based underwater around the same time. Like I said, the game kind of starts off with Booker in a boat, and it's raining, and he's going into this lighthouse, like yeah. a lighthouse. And then
it's That's pretty much yeah, started as.
Yeah, and and it's pretty much, like I said, it's kind of like bringing homage to the first game, because same thing, there's a lighthouse in the first game, and you start out kind of like in the water, but...
In the expansion pack that Logan played underwater, yeah. and April and I kind of watched, he had a female that was with him.
Elizabeth.
Was she in the portion that April played?
Yes, that's Elizabeth. That's Elizabeth.
That portion. I was finding Elizabeth.
Yes.
Okay.
Because she was dripping through time to give me the ice powers.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's that woman you see, that's actually Elizabeth. And it's more like a alternate universe because, you know, I know it's a prequel to what happened, the game that...
First Bioshock?
No, to the Infinite, you know. Oh, it's okay. It's a little bit different, but it still feels like it's a different universe, though. Because whatever happens in that expansion, it doesn't portray to the story, the regular
so
game.
So it's a side story altogether. It does not...
It's a side story, but it's not really... It's like I said, it's an alternate universe.
Right. So what happens in this extended part, it's completely separate from the main...
Exactly.
Series of
yeah.
games.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the artwork in this, the computerization of the animation, was more of a... I almost saw it as like a comic book feel.
Yeah.
But a high-end, nicely drawn
Oh, I love the art. I love the colors.
Right.
Yeah, they brought out a lot of all the colors. Yeah, it was a little cartoonish, but it wasn't like... they wanted it all cartoon, but it was like... Realistic.
Well, you know how some of them try to make the people look like people?
Yeah,
this one didn't. It kind of looked like a comic book come to life almost to me.
Yeah,
me.
For sure.
But it was a nicely rendered one, and it wasn't bad art by any means.
No, I loved it. I love this art.
It was very beautiful, too, like some of the scenes.
Yeah, and I love the overall idea of the game, you know, with the whole corrupt and... They've gone, at least in mine, they've gone up to the clouds, and there's the corrupt government or the leader.
Comstock is the leader, yeah.
Yeah, and it's just, they play with a lot of really interesting ideas and just, in general, cool
and like
thoughts.
Louise mentioned, you know, it brings in the religious aspect, so,
mm-hmm.
you know, people that are interested in conspiracy theory type stuff, oppressive religion.
Yeah.
The steampunk elements, it's kind of all blended together, and you know, I'm not a big gamer. I'm going to be the one that's not going to be playing a whole lot. I'm just going to be seeing what I see. This is one that I could sit and watch somebody play and enjoy it.
Hmm.
Where sometimes, you know, you can get those games, the actual first persons where they're shooting them up. Sometimes they're kind of fun to look at. But some of them you get there and whether it's the artwork or it's just too slow. And that was sometimes with this one, sometimes I was like, okay, when is the shooting going to start? And eventually you get to there, but it does take some time. So if everybody's wanting a real fast, thrown right into the middle of it. That's not what this game is about.
It's more story-driven.
It's more story-driven, but it was interesting enough to keep you going to where you got to that part.
And see, with me,
once it started, it did go fairly quick because he had the whole island set.
True.
Yeah. With me, I'm not very good at watching other people play video games. Mind you, I'm not very good at playing video games either. But it's more fun for me to play the video games, even though I'm dying everywhere. Just because my mind is engaged and I'm actually connected to it, because, I don't know, I just get bored. Even if it is an interesting game, I just get bored watching other people because, you know, I have no effect. I don't affect what's happening. It's, you know, not enough going on.
And this one did have save points?
Yeah.
It was more like what games are doing nowadays, where they're more auto saves. Once you get to a certain spot, it just auto saves for you.
Yeah, checkpoints.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
They've been doing that for quite a while.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's one game I played that didn't have that.
The Danger Girl one.
Yes. I got all the way close to the very last of the first chapter and got killed, and it shot me all the way back to the beginning.
Yeah, like that's why a lot of majority of majority of games nowadays put that, you know, that autosave in there, because a lot of people die a lot, or, you know, it's just.
But it's you said it was automatic. It's not like I see Logan play some games and he has to go to a portal type
build. A checkpoint.
In this game they do have that, but I've never found it. Like, I know there is a place where you can go and save it, but for me, I rely more on the auto saves because I'm just keep on going and going and going. That I don't.
And it's also really helpful if you just forget in general. I mean, you're just having a great time shooting up places. You're just darn it.
Yeah, for sure. And then it's pretty cool when you respawn, too. You know, when you die, you know, Elizabeth picks you up, or you can just go out of your office.
I didn't even pay attention to that person.
Get your butt back up.
I saw that a lot, and I don't even care. I'm just like, okay, keep going. Elizabeth, shut up. I'm not even there yet.
But, like, I guess throughout the story, I guess story aspect, you know, maybe 10% into the game, you find Elizabeth. She's locked up in this place, kind of like, you know, what is it?
Like a tower?
Yeah, kind of like a tower. You know, you go in inside and you kind of rescue her out of there. But I think it was a statue. I'm not sure. It's been a while.
It was
April
called.
Was almost to that point, and it was mentioned as being a statue.
Yeah, he rescues her, and then there's this thing that kind of protects her called a songbird. You know, you technically, throughout the game, you don't shoot or anything, you just got to run away from it. It's cool. It's a cool concept, but like I wish later on in the game, like, you could, you know, as a boss, you could shoot it or destroy it. But
I've heard this idea,
optional boss,
this has nothing to do with BioShock, it has something to do with games.
Okay,
I've heard this idea where I don't know if it's ever going to be developed or not, but it should be, and if it's not, I'll be upset. That it's a horror game, it's strongly based on horror. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and fighting, but instead of the bad guys, the evil people coming and automatically finding you, like, programmed to, it relies on sound, on whether or not they come to you. And so it's like, so you have a headset with you, and it's listening, it's picking up your breathing, and if,
well, you,
and
know
if
that,
you scream at something, or if you get really loud, they find you. It lets them locate you.
Well, do you know, so there's actually a game for the PC.
You're like sitting there in mute terror. You know?
There's actually a game like that.
Is there?
It's not really like zombies, or it's more like, it's called Sleep. It's a PC game, and it relies on, you have to wear a headset and you have to have a camera. And like, so like, let's just say you're playing and like, you have to literally turn off your lights. So it's called Sleep. So there's a little girl who has to sleep.
You have to turn off your lights.
And so she has to sleep. You know, she has to sleep, and they pick up little things like that. So like, let's just say somebody turns on the light for you. So she wakes up and you got to start over again.
Right.
But like, it's pretty much, it's like Sleep, and you have to journey her through her nightmares and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And like, if you cough or something.
Like, you have automatic stuff coming at you that's already scary. Yeah, but the big stuff relies on your, you know, you have to take this by being as quiet as possible. And then there's us still, you know, like, I could see so many people, like, you know, if your friend's playing it and you just want to screw them up, you know, just scream really loud. Like,
that would be. And then there's another game that's coming out next year called Dying Light. It's a first person as well. And like, it has a lot of parkour elements into it. And like, it's zombies, and like, you could be sneaking, you know, trying to get away from them. And the same thing works, you know, you turn on your lighter, you know, you just whisper something into your mic, and then the zombies actually pick that stuff up, and you have to run away.
Yeah.
And then, like, in that game, when it gets nighttime, the zombies get even stronger, and I guess they get the senses, and it's a really nice game, too.
That's cool.
You know the HMDs from DotAC?
Mm-hmm.
Those are real now, and have been for at least some time. Not sure how well they work headsets? As of yet. Yeah.
Yep. I've seen those being advertised a little bit now. This is one probably, like Louis says, is bloody, especially when he uses the claw.
Oh, yeah.
Or whatever it is that he uses.
My favorite weapon whenever I remember which button it is.
Yeah.
I am not used to pressing those, you know, joysticks.
Like people from Colombia, you know, they use rails and stuff like that to get around. So they use this thing called a skyhook.
That was probably my favorite thing in the game. And it was very kind of, I don't know, because in, what's your game, Logan? That deals with the hook and rail with the raccoon.
Sly Cooper.
Yeah, Sly Cooper is a game I really enjoy, you know, that Logan has, and it has the same deal kind of with the hooks, and it kind of reminded me of it, that was my favorite aspect of the whole game.
And if you attacked someone by dismounting from a rail, it did epic damage.
True. But this is one I think that because of the setting, the violence, yes, it's there. It is a little bloody, but it's not gory.
No.
It's not a splatter fest. You know, you do have blood when you're attacking people or shooting people. But other than that, I can see why it has the mature. When we were watching, or when I was watching, didn't have any language that I noticed.
So that more was like in the beginning when they're selling off the two slaves and they used the N-word a little bit.
Okay.
But
yeah, I think like the age range, I mean, obviously it's mature, but I would put like 16 and up. Yeah.
So I think this would be one, if you have a video collection in your library, if you don't already have it, it'd be one that if you pick this one up, you probably want to pick up the whole series.
Yeah.
Because they're kind of like movies anymore. You start off with one and just follow the storyline. But just by what I saw, because of the entertainment value, and it's not all about the killing like a lot of people say. There is a story there to it, and you can follow that story.
In the more military ones, that story might be in between missions instead of while on
the mission. The
solitary mission.
Exactly.
True.
It generally still is there, at least somewhat.
Okay.
Well, for Halo, I know there's something about that. For the ones that are based off of military already, they probably just figure you can look in the history books.
True.
Yeah.
From what I saw,
I
enjoyed watching it. I love playing it, so I have to rely on you three about playing it. Do you recommend it?
I recommend it a lot. Like I said, it's my game, of course. I recommend it to everybody to play it if they haven't picked it up yet.
And if you have the right system, too.
Yeah, what's on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360, which the majority of people, maybe 80%, have. Yeah, so.
And some libraries might pick up both, or if they just pick up one. You might try to use the interlibrary loan feature to try to get the other one if they don't have both, if you have a particular platform that you use. But I think, unless there's anything else, that'll about do it for us tonight.
Yeah. That's it.
All right. We appreciate everybody out there listening to us. We're having fun here. Hope you're having fun there. We will see you on the next go-around. Have a good one.
Bye.
Bye.
To the dying Savior now.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.